back. So Todd Callender is an attorney, but law isn't his only area of knowledge. Todd has done extensive research into the World Health Organization and the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, and he believes that he's found concrete, indisputable evidence of a genuine, cooperative, elite effort to depopulate the planet through a combination of COVID shots and 5G signals. But it's not just research, though. No, Todd has worked directly with many of the groups that he implicates in this plot. Todd helped run a clinical field trial of some needle-free vaccination device conducted by the U.S. Treasury Department. Todd has done business directly with many vaccine manufacturers during his career, as well as World Health Organizations like the FDA and the WHO, and even the Cuban Ministry of Health. According to Todd, quote, everybody that got the COVID injections was given some form or level of AIDS, autoimmune deficiency syndrome, unquote. He says anybody who got one COVID shot has lost at least 30% of their immune function. If they're at three or more shots, their immune system is basically gone. Todd says they're now ready to be killed by a 5G death signal. So we've reported on a lot of this with a lot of different experts and scientists and researchers. Of course, most recently, we've exposed the FDA's firsthand involvement in the production and the manufacturing of SARS-CoV-2, the fake contagious respiratory virus that was developed at Fort Detrick. No, not in Wuhan, China, not in some other shithole country, right here in the United States and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Ralph Barrett. You see, your own government did this to you. But your government actually really isn't even a government at all. We call it the Empire of Lies. We refer to it as what it accurately is, a corporate government murderous crime syndicate. Well, Todd Callender says that's not hyperbolic. That's exactly what it is. And so now a 100-page lawsuit asking the very question of the legitimacy of our government has been filed, and he joins us now. Todd Callender, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Your lawsuit says that essentially everybody serving in the federal government is serving unlawfully.
It's a question, actually. What we did was serve the U.S. attorney with something called a writ quo warranto. 5 U.S.C. 3331 or 3332 requires all officials in the government must have a written and sworn oath of office, sworn meaning notarized. One of our researchers, Lisa McGee, actually sent out FOIA requests to all the various departments and asked for the oath of office for each head, meaning the cabinet, right? And what we got back was a bunch of defective oaths. And in the case of the Treasury, they didn't even bother to do one, despite the fact that the law says that it must exist. They must do this, or should they not have one, everything they have done is void ab initio, meaning it didn't happen. So here we are 2 years into this quote-unquote presidency, and not one of the people in the cabinet has a valid oath of office, which means nothing they have done officially counts. We went to the U.S. attorney 12 days ago or so now and said, here's the writ. And by the way, if you don't do something about this, the law allows us to do something about it. So we were expecting the U.S. attorney to provide us, maybe it was a mistake, provide us the, you know, the compliant oaths. They haven't bothered to contact us.
So what does
in a
the
reasonable
law,
period of time.
What does the law entitle us to do if the U.S. attorney doesn't want to do anything about this?
Within a quote-unquote reasonable period of time, a lawyer, that's Ken Ferguson and myself, can petition the Federal District Court in Washington, D.C. to issue a writ. And that writ would include a revocation of all official acts of those appointed because they have failed to occupy the office for purposes of the law.
So what's a reasonable amount of time? I mean, we seem to be running out.
30 days. In the law, 30 days is considered reasonable.
And how far are we along in this process?
About 12 days.
And so what is the enforcement mechanism of this? Who can you use? What is there going to be a law enforcement body that helps to accompany?
Well, that's a great question because, you know, now that we have a U.S. attorney who, by the way, we've come to find over the last day also seems to have a defective oath of office. We couldn't serve the attorney general, who was the other option for this, because he's got a defective oath of office. He doesn't even have an appointment date on his. So the question becomes, who do you go to? So the short answer to your question is that it is a federal crime to impersonate a federal officer. That's a crime. So a law enforcement person, a marshal, for example, could go and arrest these people or force them to prove that they are legitimately authorized to be serving in that role. Failing to do that, we go to the court. What I'm concerned about is whether or not the courts, do these judges have a valid oath of office? And we're going through this process trying to find out. And I say that because we've had so many people since we filed this come to us and say, oh, by the way, we FOIA'd oaths of office in our state or in our country, and they're all coming back. No, they don't have them, or they're defective. This is a grand scheme. And the only thing you can take away from it, one, I get it. Somebody made a mistake. All of them are defective. That's a plan. And when you hear about this across the states, and you're hearing about this in other countries, namely Canada with their judges, that makes this a big plan, a conspiracy, in fact. And if you go back to, funny enough, 1963 congressional record on January 10 of that year, the naked communist was read into the official congressional record. There's 40-some-three items in there about what should be done to be a communist utopia. And you find number 11 says, remove oaths of office. There are a bunch of other ones in there. Talk about denigration of moral society, remove scripture. That's a playbook is what I'm trying to say to you. Go to page 34. I'll send it to you. And read what it is that they put into our congressional record. It's a playbook. And we're seeing it. It's unfolding in front of us.
Yeah. Part of this is the genocidal level mass kill off like this world has never seen before with these weapons of biowarfare, this Pfizer shot. So there is no law in this country. There is no law in any state that gives somebody immunity if they deploy a weapon of biowarfare against the citizens of our
country.
That's right. That's a criminal act.
It's a war crime.
Pfizer is culpable. Pfizer is responsible. Pfizer absolutely is not immune from criminal liability or civil liability. All of these lawsuits that have Pfizer tied up seem to be, you know, just caught in the bureaucratic process. And then no law enforcement. It would take like one sheriff to say, we're seizing these bioweapons and we're arresting the people responsible for deploying it, and the list is long. So why should the public feel like there's any kind of justice that can be found in our judiciary at all?
Well, you have a valid point. Because these are crimes against humanity, there's universal jurisdiction. It means a meter maid could bring a case. And even if we did find that one sheriff that would be the most, you know, notorious, the most famous sheriff in the world, you still have to prosecute it. So now that we find that the number one law enforcement officer in the United States of America has a defective oath of office, all of those who he may have sworn in would also have defective oaths of office. And how far does this go? We found in Colorado, when we were looking around and making bond claims on sheriffs, some of them didn't have oaths of office. So this is a grand plan, right? What we're saying here, Stu, is that this is a fraud. We are living in a facade. It's a fraud, frankly. I call it a prison. So the answer to this question is nobody's coming to help us. We cannot necessarily seek redress in the courts. And by the way, upon the declaration of President Trump of 13 March 2020, he suspended the Constitution with a national emergency. Right. So the federal district courts are now wondering whether or not they have Article 3 jurisdiction to hear these claims. It's why you see the January 6ers sitting in jail 3 years without a habeas corpus or even a bond hearing. Our country is under assault. We are under attack, and we're right in the middle of a demise. If we don't rise up and take our country back, it's over.
It if you're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for and look for the open door, the divine opportunity. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. God will present opportunities for you to share the gospel with people around you. Now, we often miss these open doors because we're living too fast-paced, or we're living too distracted, or we're living too self-absorbed. So slow down and ask the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes that you might catch those daily opportunities to share the gospel. If you'll commit to being more spiritually vigilant, type amen in the comment section.
In 2004, Israeli construction workers were trying to fix a drainage pipe when accidentally they uncovered some mysterious ancient steps. So, they called some archaeologists. The archaeologists immediately had the site excavated, and what they found silenced the mouths of many skeptics. Hidden beneath this drainage pipe were steps which led down to a 225-foot pool. But here's why this discovery was so shocking. For years, atheists have claimed that the Pool of Siloam, where Jesus healed that blind man, is non-existent. But this pool matches the exact biblical location. It's next to Hezekiah's tunnel, and it's also next to the Temple Mount. And that is why biblical archaeologists all agree that this must be the real Pool of Siloam. And if you want me to show you more biblical discoveries, please do subscribe.
Hair rising on the back of our necks, goosebumps on our skin, or even a sinking sensation in our stomach. These can all be signs that someone or something is watching us from the darkness. This image was captured by the brother of Redditor, Squiggle Wiggly. According to the post, the Redditor's brother began to feel inexplicably creeped out while eating in his living room. Unnerved, he grabbed his camera and managed to capture this chilling photo. As you can see, there appears to be a ghostly-looking woman peeking out from behind a wall. Her face looks grey and her dark eyes seem to stare straight into the camera. The Redditor who shared this picture said that his family has often dealt with strange occurrences in the past, like seeing things out the corner of their eyes and hearing weird noises. Is it possible then that this photo shows the entity responsible for these strange goings-on? What would you do if you managed to snap such a terrifying photo in your own home?
Clint Eastwood is a very famous actor. He's very well known. He's seen here doing the 666 Eye of Horus pose. He and the other Freemasons are showing off some NASA stuff there. He's way out in fake outer space. The Earth is biblical. If you haven't, you should honestly look into it. Don't be afraid of being looking stupid. Once you have your eyes open to this, it becomes obvious. And the Earth is biblical. It made my relationship with Jesus closer. And he's hanging out with Burt Reynolds, and Clint Eastwood is doing the Uttara Bodhi Mudra with his hands here. Of course he is. The whole world is like this. It is especially Hollywood and entertainment. God bless you, everyone.
Doesn't speak very well English.
Well, yeah, you can translate.
What a miracle is.
Miracle. Yeah. I don't understand very well.
Oh, okay, that's right. So right here?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So pain go right now in Jesus' name. Pain go, be healed right now. Like. Now go like this. Go like this, walk a little bit.
Every bit of pain leaves. Jesus' name.
Feel better? Better?
Yeah.
It's going away. It's going away now. So, Lord, show your glory right now.
Yes, bless him, Lord.
Bless him because he's a very nice man. So be
Jesus
healed right now.
Name.
Life to you.
All but
in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Yes, life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go with your sin.
Ama benim dizlerimde sıvı kaybı var.
What is he saying?
He say he has something happened. He's sometimes sick, you know.
Right. But he feels better?
No, he got something
else. Not really?
Little bit.
So Lord, yeah. Show your glory.
Yes,
bless
Lord.
Him, Lord. Bless him.
Bless
help
him,
to
Lord, in Jesus'
help
name.
Help him to receive, Lord. Help him to receive in Jesus' name right now.
İsa'nın adıyla falan diyorlar.
Evet. Is it better?
A little better, right. Okay, say this.
That's
say,
good.
Say thank you.
Have a good
thank
day.
You, God.
Thank you for translating. Bye-bye.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yes, thank you,
Esau. After you say thank you, God, then you do this.
Thank you, God.
And then you do this.
Yeah, is this good?
Better now?
Yeah, better.
It's good.
Yes. Better, yeah. So after you said thank you, God, get better. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This is positive.
Yes. Right.
Yes. We say teşekkür Esau.
Because you're acknowledging who did it for you. Because God did it for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So take a few steps again. Uh-huh. Is it completely gone?
Every bit of pain leave now.
All gone?
Yes.
Wow, it's so great. Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise
God
the Lord.
God bless you.
Bye. Oh, bye. God bless you.
Bye. Take care.
So okay. All pain go. Pain go now. In Jesus' name. So now, is it gone?
Check it.
Huh?
I know, out of it.
No more?
No more.
It's gone?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? So you have soreness in your shoulder from working out. Like, you know, because the shoulder muscles are small. You got to be careful. Right, so Lord, you love this man with an everlasting love, and you want him to see your glory. So all soreness leave, lactic acid, flush out of that shoulder right now. Soreness go, pain go, life be restored in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now take that off and move around a little bit. We do this.
Lord, to reveal yourself to him.
Okay.
Does it feel better?
Oh, you did something on my shoulders. I think it's psychological.
It's not psychological.
That means it works. That means it works. So it went away, right?
Yeah.
There is actually some psychological thing to that. Because you need to believe. It's like people, what is the word people use?
You need to.
The placebo effect.
Placebo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but this is not placebo.
Because I put something on my shoulder.
You feel something, right?
Yeah.
It's the supernatural. Yeah. There's a spiritual world that you can't see with your natural eyes. Yeah, so Jesus does it for you to help you to believe that he loves you and he wants you to like seek him.
Yes.
It's like a sign.
Yes.
Because that's what he did.
Even when Jesus walked the earth, he was doing healing miracles and all manner of miracles because it was a sign so people would understand.
Right.
And pay attention here because the Lord is revealing himself to you.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, all you do is read the Gospels and you see that. He healed people and then he was healing people so that they would believe. So now believe. So even though it's not a major injury, you know something supernatural happened. So it should be enough for you to say, okay, that was real. It's not something natural, so now I have to contemplate the supernatural more.
Start investigating it.
You understand?
All right, I will do that.
Yeah,
praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hey, Jesus loves you.
Yeah. Yes.
You're awesome, and he loves you, and he wants you to know him.
Yes.
Okay, I will check for it.
Okay. And before you go, I want to pray, Lord, bless our brother here, and give him an encounter where he can see you face to face. Give him a dream encounter where he can experience you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I'm willing to do that.
Juuri, että se on niin. Sain puhuttua, että mä roin korjaa.